Well, welcome to Chi Alpha. That little trailer is an introduction to our series this semester that we are calling Amazed. Before I get into the series, I want to just tell you a little bit about myself. My name's Pete, and my wife Amy is here somewhere. I don't know where she is, unless we sent her to the green room too. Okay, there she is. There's Amy back there in the back. We have been here for, this is our 12th year. We started Chi Alpha, and there were like 15 of y'all when we started. And God has been doing a great work at UVA, and we're just one small piece of that. But let me also tell you a little bit about my family, since I'm a stranger to you. I'll go ahead and put my family picture. Yeah, so that's us. We are a gregarious bunch, as you can imagine. And we like shotguns and stuff. No. Anyways, okay, next picture, my family. There's my family. So my son, he's a second grader, and his name is Ian. And then we have two foster kids have been with us for a year, a three-year-old daughter, Nevaeh, that Amy's holding, and Jeremiah. He does not look like that now. That was around Christmas, and he is 1 year old. So our house is rocking. You guys don't understand yet. Wait till you have three kids. You're like, yeah, I know what he was talking about. You know, anyways, so our house is rocking. By the way, I know that right now it kind of can feel a little bit overwhelming, the number of people who are here, but here's what I would ask. Just bear with us for a little while, because if you give us like 3 weeks, this crowd will turn into a great big family. Anybody who's been in Chi Alpha for a year, two, three, four, will tell you that we are a great big family. You'll have more brothers and sisters than you ever know what to do with. You cannot walk around grounds and not get mobbed, okay? So anyways, so just hang with us. We are not in this big impersonal crowd. We are actually a very intimate but yet large family. And so we work hard to make that happen. So just want to encourage you with that. Also want to give a shout out to the Overflow Room. Hi, Overflow Room. We have probably, I don't know, a lot of people there. And they graciously gave up their seat so you could have a seat. Isn't that pretty cool? So they're people who already know and love Chi Alpha. We'll be meeting in here the first 3 weeks, and then we'll be moving to McLeod, the nursing school. And you're like, where is that? Which is precisely why we're not meeting there right now, because you don't know where it is. And so we will be making that move eventually. All right, well, let's pray, and then I want to bring the Word of God to us, and we'll go from there. Lord, we humble our hearts before you and before your Word. When you speak, may all other voices be silent. For you are the authoritative voice. And so we bow our hearts and we bow our heads in humility before you. And we open up our minds and we say, speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let me start with a story. Whenever I was in third or fourth grade, I'm not really for sure, I thought it was really cool to have glasses. Anybody ever go through that stage? Like, I wish I had glasses. Yeah, I went through that I wish I had glasses stage, because I had a brother who was 2 years older than me who had to look at the alarm clock like this. And for some reason, I thought that was cool that he wore these glasses. And so I remember telling, you know, when it was time to get the eye exam, like, I'm getting glasses. I'm coming home with glasses, baby. I don't know, you know, if I really need them, but I'm coming home with them. So anyways, we go to the optometrist, and you guys know the big E chart? You guys ever done the big E chart? Like, and I'm thinking, why don't they make other charts with other letters? You know, it's because, like, I already know it's E, you know? Like, but anyways, I walked into the optometrist. He has me stand on the line. I'm standing on the line. I'm looking at the chart, and he's like, what is the big letter? And of course, I want glasses, right? I'm like, I don't know. It could be a C or it could be an F. I'm not quite sure, you know. And he was probably thinking, dude, if you can't read that, you need like a seeing eye dog to get in this room, you know. Like, and I just continued to bomb the test with beauty. You know what I'm saying? And so what did the optometrist do? He sold me glasses, right? He's like, you're getting glasses, buddy. I know what you're doing. You're getting glasses. And so this was before LeBron James made it cool not to have lenses. You know what I'm saying? And so I had to actually get these glasses with lenses, and I didn't hardly ever wear them because they were miserable to wear when you don't really need them. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, there's no value added. Well, then I got to college. Whenever I was in college, I realized in the back of the room I couldn't see the board. I'm like, what's that? And then I was driving at night, and everything looked like it was exploding at me. Like, when you think a headlight way in the distance could be a deer. You know what I'm saying? Like, you may want to get that checked out. So I'm like, I need glasses. So I go, and here's what happened. I got glasses, and I will never forget the moment I put those glasses on my head. I put them on, and a miracle happened. Instantaneously, the world went from fuzzy, blurry, and mundane to crisp, clear, and absolutely brilliant. I was like, whoa, that's what the edge of a leaf looks like. Whoa, I really remember this. I remember being like, there are little rocks in the concrete. Whoever knew? There are actually rocks in the concrete. Look at that blade of grass. I mean, everything was just, and honestly, it was a bit disorienting. Have you guys ever been through this? Anybody who has glasses like that first? It's a bit disorienting. You're like, whoa, I don't know if I can take it. And here's what I hope. I hope as we go through this series called Amaze, that your view of Jesus that may be a little fuzzy and may be a little blurry will come into focus, and that it will go to brilliant, crisp, clear, even a little bit disorienting, because as Luther and Bonhoeffer said, that true comprehension is bewilderment. That when you really understand who Jesus is, it will overwhelm you. That's what I hope happens as we go through the series. So we are going through the series called Amaze through the book of Mark. All right? Through the book of Mark. So let me give you a little bit about the book of Mark, and then we will hop right to it. A little bit about the book of Mark. The book of Mark is a fast, explosive, action-packed movie of a book, okay? It's been called the ADD gospel. Any ADDers out there? Okay, so you defied the odds. You got in. All right. Your brain goes so, like, the book of Mark is for you, right? Because this thing is quick hitting, and it is made for people who like to process information quickly. And it's been said that this book goes so fast that it can actually take your breath away. My hope is it will take your breath away, but not just because of the pace it goes. And yes, I love the fast pace of it. But because when you behold Jesus as the Bible reveals him to be, that you will have the same response they had 2,000 years ago that we see over and over and over again, that you will be amazed, full of awe, and astonished by what you see of Jesus. The word amazed is used in the Gospel of Mark 15 times in 16 chapters. Literally every chapter of the book of Mark is dripping with amazement. And so my hope is that at the end of this series, we would all be amazed at Jesus. Here's the reason why. The reason why we want to be amazed with Jesus is this, and it's simple. It's because that is the beginning of the Christian life. Because when you are amazed with Jesus, then there's something that leads you to worship him and to be transformed by him. But it all starts with being amazed. All right, if you will, open up your Bible to Mark 1:1. Mark 1:1. Mark is the second book of the New Testament, right after Matthew. New Testament's in the back of the book. If you're not familiar with Christianity, it's in the second half. So Mark 1:1, we actually have that up on the board, so go ahead and put that up. It says this, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, if this was, if the book of Mark is an action-packed movie, this is the title frame of the movie. So I just want to hit a couple words to set the stage, and then I'm going to make three quick points, and we'll call it a night, okay? Number one is the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What it means is this. What you read in the Gospel of Mark is just the beginning. What you read when you read this gospel is just the beginning of what Jesus started to do 2,000 years ago. Now, what's the implication of that? The implication is this, that what you read Jesus doing 2,000 years ago, he is still doing. He is still forgiving sin. He is still restoring broken lives. He is still healing. He is still delivering. He is still amazing people. And so what you read As you enter into the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel writer says this is just the beginning. His earthly life was just the beginning of him changing lives that now literally around the world, people's lives are being changed. Now, the second word I want to focus on is gospel, the beginning of the gospel. What does gospel mean? Many of you have probably heard that gospel means good news. And if you heard that, you were kind of right. Gospel is kind of a Christianese word, isn't it? I mean, people don't walk around, you know, people don't Twitter, man, that I just got some gospel, you know, like people don't use it. It's pretty much in the church. But do you know that when Mark used the word gospel, it was not a religious word at all? It didn't have any religious currency. What gospel meant was simply this: life-changing, history-making, life-shaping news. So gospel is history-making, life-shaping news. It's not just ordinary good news. It is good news that will transform your life. Now, let me give you an example. Whenever I played football, which I'm sure you guys all guessed, but I did. I played football in high school, and when my freshman team finally won a football game, it was the first time in 9 years in my small rural town that we had won a game, okay? So when my team finally won a game as a freshman football team, we were going crazy in the locker room. That was good news. That was not gospel. No one's life was changed, okay? Imagine you go out to eat and somebody, the people you're with, says, hey, don't worry about it. We got the bill covered, right? That's good news. That is not gospel. Good news versus gospel. Gospel will not be on the front page for one day. Gospel will not trend on Twitter for a couple hours. Gospel will be in the history books. Gospel will be what your kids read about. Gospel will become a national holiday. Let me give you a little history. Back in the day when Persia invaded Greece, the Greeks began to fight back, and there's a couple battles called Marathon, was that right? The Battle of Marathon and Sulnus, as I recall. I just read it. I never heard it pronounced. Anyways, they won. And what happened in response to the Greek victory is they sent out people to go declare their victory to all the people in Greece. And they sent out this evangelist to share the gospel about how they had now been free. There had been a battle that had been fought and a battle that had been won, and now they are no longer slaves. They are free. Now that's gospel. And so Mark picks up this word. He says, what you're getting ready to read is just the beginning of life-changing, history-making news. And so that's what we're going to read about. Hop over to verse 16. We are going to read about, well, if this is a great action movie, we hit head for a defining moment right out of the gate here, and that's where we're going to spend the next 12 minutes, and then we'll be done. It says this: as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now, this wasn't the disciples' first interaction with Jesus. We know in John 1 that they had had an interaction with Jesus before. But Jesus comes, and he calls them. And this call, what we just read, literally changed the trajectory of their lives. And I just want to focus on three things that he called them to. And these three things, if you integrate these three things into your life, will lead you on a journey of being amazed by Jesus. And I will say this, if you don't have these three things, you will have a mundane version and view of Christianity at best. So what are those three things? Number one is this: Jesus called them to himself. The first thing that he called them to was time with him. And so we in Chi Alpha, we just call it a real devotional life. He called them to live a life devoted to him. A life devoted to him. See, this is the fountainhead of the Christian life. A relationship, spending time with Jesus Christ. Now, what happened to these disciples as they followed Jesus? Well, on the Mount of Transfiguration, they beheld glory that was unmatched. When Jesus fed the 5,000, they saw provision that was unparalleled. When Jesus commands a storm to stop and it immediately obeys, they saw authority that was unequaled. And when Jesus casts out a legion of demons, they saw a power that was unrivaled. And what happens is this, as they followed Jesus, as they walked with Jesus day by day, they grew to know him better. And as they grew to know him better, you know what happened? They became more amazed, more in awe with this one that they were following. So let me tell you, before I tell you a story, let me just say this. You know, we don't have the luxury of walking with Jesus like in flesh, but what we do have the luxury of is seeing him revealed through Scripture. And so how do we walk with Jesus? How do we get amazed by Jesus? One of the primary ways, and there's a lot of aspects to this, but one of the primary ways is by being a person of the Scriptures. Let me say this. If you're not a person of Scripture, I'll just put it bluntly, your amazement will be temporary at best. But if you are a person of the Scriptures, then your amazement can actually be increasing because it will be rooted in truth. If you're not a person who is in the Scriptures in some form or fashion, then it will just be based on emotion. Wow, that was a great worship song. Woo! Right? But if you're in the Scriptures, you can steadily increase in amazement of him. Okay, so let me tell you a story. Go ahead and change the slide a couple times, actually. Real devotional life. Lun. I remember when Lun was a first year. Lun is now a graduate. He's married. Remember when he was a first year? He was a brand new Christian, and he didn't grow up in a Christian home either, like a lot of you. And when he came to Chi Alpha, I was like, dude, we got to get together. And Lun was actually a baller, too. He was a good basketball player. And so I remember us meeting up in the PAV, and I was asking Lun how he was doing, and he said this. He said, frankly, Pete, I'm struggling in my faith, and I have lots of doubt. And as a campus pastor, I mean, I'm like, you're why I'm here. And so I started to tell Lun about the importance of being a person of Scripture. And then after I talked about it, I said, this isn't about legalism. This is just about rooting your faith in truth. And then I said this. I said, Lun, let me show you how to study the Bible. And so we spent the next 45 minutes just talking about how to study the Bible. Then I gave him homework. How many people want homework from their campus pastor? Not many, but I gave him homework, okay? And I said, next time we get together, I want to see how you did studying the Bible. So next week we got together. And dude, when I met Lun, it was unbelievable the change that was made. I said, Lun, what happened? I was stunned. He said, well, I just started studying the Bible and it just all came alive. And he said, my questions have just started to dissipate. In fact, I called him as I was preparing this message a couple weeks ago, and I said, Lun, am I remembering all this? He said, absolutely. He said this. He said, I remember being in class and wanting class to get over just so I could go back to my room and read more of the Bible. The dude was just devouring Scripture, and his amazement of Jesus was just soaring. He said this at the end of our phone call. He said, Pete, I have never been the same. Let me ask you a question. If you're a grad student or if you're a first year on a university with opportunities that'll make your head spin, will you put down an anchor of a real devotional life? If you do, you're on your way to being amazed by Jesus. Number two, the second thing we see him call them to is real community. He calls four of them all together to now live in community around him. Christ-centered community. And I'm going to just cut through the chase on this so I don't go too long. Let me tell you the law of the inner circle. The law of the inner circle is this, that you will, the trajectory and quality of your life will be impacted by the people in your inner circle. If you have in your inner circle people who are amazed with Jesus, your amazement with Jesus will start to go up. If you have people in your inner circle that it's full of people who just don't give a rip about Jesus and they marginalize faith, then guess what's going to happen over the course of your time here at UVA? Then your view of Jesus will start to go this way. Now, I'm not saying don't be friends with people who aren't Christians. We all want friends who are in every walk of life. But I'm saying in your inner circle, there better be some people that you're doing life with who are amazed with Jesus that will send you on this journey of being amazed. Let me put it this way. And if you're taking notes, write this down. Christianity is not a solo sport. I ran track and I hated it. Okay? It's a solo sport. So much pressure. Christianity is not a solo sport. We are called to follow Him. We respond as individuals, but we follow Him communally. You do not see solitary Christians in the Bible. We follow Him communally. Let me put up another picture. This is Barrett Jacobson. You guys know Barrett. Barrett's actually here. He graduated, but he's back. Barrett, there you are. Barrett is getting his PhD now. He's moving on to an education. But Barrett sent me an email about how Chi Alpha changed his life a couple weeks ago. Barrett said this. He said he didn't grow up in a Christian home either. He had become a believer right before he got here or during high school. I don't know how much, but he said, I'd never truly tasted the sweetness of a life-giving relationship with Jesus. He believed, but he had so much growth to do. He said, but then I got in a core group, and the guys that were in my core group, he said, had an affection for Christ that I had never experienced. He had never seen people love Jesus like that. And he said, and their faith was so contagious, he said, I couldn't help but grow in my faith. And see, as his inner circle became full of people who were amazed by Jesus, he began to soar in his own walk with God, and his amazement of Jesus went up. Here's a question I have for you. Will you make a priority, a core group, Christian fellowship, a small group, while you're here at UVA? Christianity is not a solo sport. And then quickly, the last one. There's one word that you probably skip over when you read this passage, because I do, and it's the word and. It seems like a throwaway word, but and is a huge word in this verse. It says this, I'll make you fishers of men, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, Jesus is saying this, what I have in mind for you is not that you just follow me. What I have in mind for you is probably something bigger than you have in mind for yourself. I have something of eternal consequence in mind for you, not just for yourself, but for this world. I invite you into real responsibility in the kingdom. I invite you to be my ambassador at UVA. What does Chi Alpha mean? Does anybody ever wonder that? What does Chi Alpha mean? It literally stands for this: Christ's ambassadors. We believe this, that Jesus' call to us isn't just for us, it's for the world. And so I believe this. I believe God positions his people in strategic places to have an impact in this world. And so if you're in Balls Dobie, any Balls Dobie folks out there? If you're in Balls Dobie, I believe God put you in Balls Dobie. If you're in Hereford, any Herefordites? Okay, we got some Herefordites. I believe God has a purpose for you in Hereford or Gooch Dillard or in the Comm School or wherever you're at. I believe that God wants to use you right where you are at. And so maybe you say, you know what? I've grown in my real devotional life. I've grown in real community. But I'll tell you what, when you start to embrace real responsibility and say, God, I want you to use me for your purposes. When you do that, your amazement of Jesus will begin to go up. Or Or you can coast, not give a rip. And probably your view of Jesus will go this way. So what happened? I close with this. What we see is this. We see that these four strong, rugged men dropped their nets and followed a man who was stronger. They dropped their nets and they started following Jesus. And what was the result of them following Jesus? Next seven verses, here's the results. They were amazed at his teachings. They were amazed at what they saw. What's the impact of embracing a real devotional life, living in real community, and embracing real responsibility? You will be amazed by Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Will you stand with me? I have a couple questions for you. My first question is this. Will you anchor your life in Jesus? The call that went out 2,000 years ago was just the beginning. Jesus is still calling people today. And maybe you grew up in a Christian home and maybe you didn't. But wherever you're at in this new season of life, you have to answer this question. Will I anchor my life in Him? Will you put down the anchor of a real devotional life in the hecticness of UVA? Will you make real community, brotherhood and sisterhood that transform Barrett's life, will you make that a priority? And will you let Jesus use you right where you are? In Chi Alpha, that real responsibility we know goes from the university throughout this community. We do all sorts of stuff and throughout this community, and it goes actually to the world. This year, we have about a dozen people who graduated last year who are going to some of the darkest places in the world to shine the light of Jesus Christ. Missions is at the heartbeat of who we are because we believe He gives us not just goosebumps for ourselves, but a real responsibility to impact the world. He invites you to be a part of what He's doing. Here's the good news. The good news is when you embrace Jesus, the one who lived the sinless life but died a criminal's death, when you embrace that one who rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave, when you embrace that one, He gives you the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit draws you into relationship with Him. That Holy Spirit unites your heart with the brothers and sisters that are around you so you can live in real brotherhood and sisterhood. And then He empowers you with the Holy Spirit so you can live out this real responsibility. This isn't something we gump up in our own willpower. This is something that Jesus calls us to, then gives us the Spirit to draw us, to lead us. Anchored life. If you're not a Christian here tonight, can I ask you to do the same thing that Johnny did? Start reading the Bible. And maybe you'll have the same response they did 2,000 years ago. You'll be amazed. And then secondly, merge your life with other believers and you will hear stories and you will hear the things that Johnny heard and see it in action. See the Spirit at work in people's lives. So if you're not a believer, let me just encourage you to engage in those two things. I've asked the worship team to come and lead us in our benediction for tonight. May this song be our way of consecrating ourselves to Jesus for this year. May it be our prayer. us sing.